I'd like to invite up on stage the Chief Lizard Wrangler for the Mozilla Foundation, Mitchell Baker. So, this turned out to be an incredibly timely interview that I've scheduled, because on Wednesday at midnight, there was a press release. Yes. Would you mind telling us what the big announcement from the Mozilla Foundation is?
We have expanded our organizational structure at the Mozilla Foundation. We've been a nonprofit organization for a couple of years now, and we've added to that a subsidiary, which is actually technically a taxable organization. And that is designed actually to reflect the success and the new state of where we've ended up in Firefox. You know, the foundation was actually formed 2 years ago in large part at this conference. The announcement was later, but I spent the conference 2 years ago sort of running around talking to all the people that I thought might be important for the foundation. Tim and Brian Behlendorf, who joined the board, and Mitch, who joined the board. And then in between conference sessions, running up to the hotel room to call AOL and try and get the details worked out. And since then, a couple things have happened. You know, we have Firefox now, so great changes in the world.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
70 million downloads and counting?
And counting. And you can watch it online. I actually sometimes find it mesmerizing. There's a counter, and you just watch as it ticks by. Boom, boom. And somewhere around the world, you know, 250,000 people a day come to get Firefox.
Are they all served from here in Portland, or is the Portland OSU Lab one of the many mirrors?
The Portland OSU Lab is the center. So one of the things that was difficult for us when we left AOL was this question of how do we actually distribute our software, because, of course, that's a giant amount of bandwidth and it's expensive. And Oregon State was just in the process of really expanding its open source labs, for which we're intensely grateful. And as part of their process for, I think, education and giving back to the community, they provide a whole range of services. And they are actually the center of a massive distribution network of many mirrors, but all of which come through a tool actually written by the OSU folks called Bouncer. And it distributes the load to, you know, a range of different sites, but OSU is the hub for the Firefox distribution. So if anybody's here, you know, thanks to OSU. Yeah. Yeah. But could I continue?
So, please.
So after we formed the foundation, you know, we found out that actually organization does matter a bit. So it's not the case necessarily that all nonprofits or all open source projects need an organization, but we found it was very helpful. And people came out of the woodwork to try and figure out how to work with our project who had never talked to us before. And of course, that's on the commercial side and the program managers. But it turns out, even for, you know, individual contributors, it matters. If you think about the New York Times ad, the Firefox ad, you know, it actually took a lot of organizational work to make it happen. And so we've learned that having an organization really matters, and it matters not just to corporate entities, but to everyone, and that organization and time on the organizational side is important.
And so the corporate interest in the success of Firefox is what led you to form the taxable subsidiary?
Not exactly. So what's happened now is we have Firefox, and we have an end-user product, and it's being used by millions of people who probably aren't interested in open source or don't know or don't care. But in order for the project to grow and be successful, it needs an ecosystem and it needs a range of things developed around it. And part of that is commercial entities. Part of it is, you know, GreaseMonkey and the, you know, the extensions around that. But what started to happen is with an end user product and a consumer product, you know, there's marketing, there's a whole range of activities that aren't the development of code. And most of those activities typically happen in a business-like setting. And many of them involve dealing with commercial entities. And all of those, and some of them involve revenue and supporting yourself, or at least being able to talk about, would we ever consider generating revenue? And all of those things just don't happen in a nonprofit setting. So here we are. Okay. I don't think for developers it should make much difference, actually.
So I read some of the news stories about it, and they seemed, you know how the news organizations are always looking for the angle of conflict. And so some of them would say, it's a minor paperwork shuffle, but others were saying, oh no, it's the end of open source Firefox as we know it, it's they're selling out. Where does the truth lie in here?
On the former, obviously.
I'll just throw that gently out there. You bang it out of the park.
You know, so, you know, anytime money comes into the picture, people get suspicious. So it's a tough setting because most of us need a salary in order to live and survive. And so that means you need to generate funds. And when you employ 20 or 30 or 40 people, that's a lot of money for charitable donations. So the reality is that we do need to generate money in some fashion, and that non-profits are limited in the way they do that. So I think just the fact that you're talking about money and there's potentially revenue, it makes people suspicious. I don't know actually how to avoid that except by continuing to do a good job. You know, we know that the foundation and the corporation are just the core of the Firefox project. I mean, we could not ship it ourselves, right? It really is a worldwide community project. And so I think sometimes people overestimate the amount of control that the foundation has over this project as well.
So the you've already been, it's not a new step to be taking money for Firefox to use it for the development of Firefox. What's changing is the structure of the organization.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Terrific.
So nothing in the project.
So who pays money for Firefox, given that I can download it for free? Where does that money come from?
So we've generated revenue in a range of settings. So there's a set of companies that are interested and have supported Firefox, and some need development, and so there's a whole range of revenue sources. We also generate funds from the search relationships. Right? It turns out, obviously, Yahoo and Google and the search engines have a business model based on advertising that works for them, that's free for consumers. And we've had a search box for a long time. Everything that we've heard is that people like that search feature, and having the search engines in there is a plus. And so since it was a user feature that people liked and there was revenue available, we said, that makes sense.
So there's no plans to take the subsidiary public and IPO roll around naked in a big pile of money or anything like that?
No. Some parts might be more attractive than others, but that's not in the plan. No, it's a wholly owned sub, meaning the foundation controls it. So the foundation owns the assets, the foundation owns the trademark, any work that the employees of the subsidiary make, the foundation owns all of that. So the foundation has, you know, organization, business structure, and employees, but it's specifically set up not to be attractive, right, as well as not to permit investment or any private gain.
Fantastic. Well, I've tried desperately to find the scandal here, and I absolutely can't, so we're going to have to move on. You were the prominent figure in the move of Mozilla from Netscape / AOL into the open source world, and you were one of the first leaders of a project that made that jump. Up until then, most open source projects had been started in the wild and grown in the wild and never had to deal with the throwing off the yokes and shackles of corporate ownership. What did you learn during that time that maybe other people would benefit from knowing?
Well, the first thing is be not to overestimate my own role. Right? I want to be clear that Brendan Eich, the technical lead of the project forever, has a young infant and isn't here, but if you wanted to pick one person, you know, it ought to be Brendan, but I was certainly involved. So I learned a lot of things. If you're in the commercial side, complete dedication of the management group is critical. It turns out it's hard to make this change, and it's hard on some of the developers, and it's, I think, harder for the management group. So you have to be dedicated because there's going to be a fair amount of struggles. I learned some of what, you know, the previous speaker talked about, that for many people, the chance to actually be involved in something new and bigger than they are is an enormous motivator. And I think the other thing that I learned is that the development of a browser that people love, i.e. Mozilla Firefox, could not have happened except through the open source mechanism. And we had many discussions at Netscape about what did open really mean. Like, was it open Netscape, meaning people were welcome to contribute, but all decisions would be made by Netscape product management for the Netscape browser. And that was one of the long and early discussions that Mozilla.org staff and those of us at Mozilla led. You know, no. If it's an open source project, authority must be delegated and other people must have a chance to actually make decisions. And that was really critical. Without that, we would not have succeeded.
How long was there a ramp up between somebody saying we should look at open sourcing this to it actually being ejected from the pod?
Do you mean the first ejection or the second one like 2 years ago?
To the first time that there was something that we could download.
Well, something that you can download or something you could really use. So the discussions, starting at Netscape, Netscape moved quickly as a company. So the discussions about, gee, does open sourcing what was then the Netscape communicator make sense? To the decision to actually do it was very short, you know, maybe a month. I mean, it was really short. So there's a long period of time in discussing taking the Netscape product and making it free, right? But once it was free, the question of opening up the source code was very quick. And so that meant that, that piece was very quick, then there was a couple months of real rush to get it done, and then there was this long period when everyone was sure the Mozilla project was dead. And you know, was in the days when we were the failure of the open source movement of trying to rewrite the code base to something modern. And unfortunately, that took a lot longer. You know, we were and are still pretty proud of the Mozilla 1.0 product, which was the product we were created to release by Netscape. And that surprised people. And that was, I guess, 2002. So that was probably 4 years. And then after that, the Firefox development happened pretty quickly. You know, there was volunteer work going on when we formed the foundation, and when we formed it 2 years ago, and we had maybe 10 people to hire, that was as big as, that seemed like a giant scope at the time, we made the decision to hire the lead Firefox developer and the lead Thunderbird developer, and to do what we could with the Mozilla suite, because we knew that the future was in something new. And so the development of the Firefox app was pretty short, and with far fewer people on the actual application side. So we've seen that as, for ourselves, a vindication of our belief that the platform is easy to use and it's easy, quicker to develop apps with Zool and so on, because that's what happened with Firefox Thunderbird.
It's interesting that you say that you think a usable application could only come about through through open source.
Well, that's a little broader. I thought Firefox that we were trying to produce would only come about through open source.
What were the forces that were preventing it from within a company?
Well, so for one thing, the browser is just a giant project, right? And so sometimes I'm reluctant to say that what's working for the Mozilla project would necessarily work for someone else, because the browser in the web space is so central. So it's a massive amount of investment. And when you're building your own product, it's, within a company where your focus is revenue, it's so easy to make decisions based on revenue. Or when you have a large marketing group that's trying to tie a product that's going to be free to the consumer and trying to find the value in it, it's very easy to get distracted by where you think you're going to make money as opposed to what consumers really need. And so we had a few things from the community. One was technical expertise. Many of the people at the Mozilla Foundation, of the say 10 or 12 that we hired, came out of the community. We would not have found them otherwise. And they've come from all over the world. So it's not like you're going to have a recruiter in San Jose and find the people you need. Secondly, the determination about the user being first, right, is something that I think is much stronger in a community and much stronger when you don't have a management group that can control it. So that's been important. And then, of course, the testing and the just updates and changes that people provide. We still can't do a release without, beta releases and release candidates. It turns out that the browser's complex enough and the web is wild enough that unless you've got, tens of thousands of people using it, you just don't know if it's really good enough. So.
Fantastic. So what are we going to see next from Firefox and from Mozilla?
Better products, ever continuing, better products. So Firefox 1.5, or the next release of Firefox and Thunderbird, will be out in the fall. There'll be the ultimate mantra, smaller, faster, more stable, polished, right? We've done a fair amount of work on that. We've also done a lot of work to make Firefox more useful for extension developers, easier to update, easier to maintain, easier for extensions to fit in. So Firefox as a sort of infrastructure piece for things built on top of it should be much easier to use. We've also done a fair amount of work to make the sort of for people interested in building applications that aren't necessarily a browser, to make that much easier. So that you'll see the community marketing piece. One of the very interesting things last year was the Spread Firefox activities, and as our new products come out, you'll see that happen again. And also, there's a set of things that we really won't know because they're coming not from us, but from people interested in the product. And we get mail about what people are doing and what they're using Zool for and what they're building, and so I think those things will become more obvious after the product ship.
Fantastic. Well, I wanted to thank you for being the head of such a marvelous and integral part of my life that I couldn't... I'm on the Mac, and I can't survive without Firefox. So very, very personally, I want to say thank you to you. But I think for everybody here, the Firefox campaign and the long and arduous battle to turn something that was inside Netscape into something that was useful is something to be applauded. Thank you very much, Michelle.